Well, as you know, we've been going through the book of the Gospel of Mark, and it has been very enlightening to me. The Lord has been just revealing so many things to me. And, you know, I like this about the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are, He's still showing you things. And that thing about service was one of the things He showed me this week that just blessed my heart so much. We come to the church to be served by Him. And this meal really represents that, as we'll see in this message. But before we get into this, let me pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your Word and this passage that was read. And the whole chapter 10 has been a real revelation. I pray, Father God, that You would help us to take this to heart, what You've been teaching us through the Gospel of Mark. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ in His incarnation, God's Son, became a human being and a part of material creation forever. He's in heaven right now in that material body. It's been glorified, but it's still a human body and it's still a part of creation. It's amazing that God has done this. It blows our minds, actually. But it also affirms our humanity, that He would actually deign to come down and be one of us. It affirms our humanity. But it also affirms this physical creation. There's a problem, though, because sin came into this creation through us, through humanity. And so, flawed by sin, humans interact with humans and with this fallen creation, this sin-cursed creation, in a way that is dysfunctional many times. Now, God affirms human culture. But what culture is called is the interaction of humans with humans, how they behave together in their environment, in this world. That's what culture is. That's where I got my master's degree, just so I could learn that one thing. No, but I got it in cross-cultural studies. But I'm just saying that this whole idea of culture is God affirmed. He affirmed it by coming into the world because He does want us to have a behavior between one and each other and with this creation. But sin entered in, and it was amazing. On my way over here, I've been listening to, his name is Craig Barnes, okay? Or is it Craig Barnes, or that's his brother. Anyway, there's two psychologists. They're both pastors, but one is teaching a course in pastoral psychology, and he's really getting deep into it. It's a college-level thing. And he was talking about depravity today, and he was mentioning the things I'm preaching about, and I thought, this is too much. I mean, I'm getting this from the Lord right now. So that's just an amazing thing to me. But here's what happened. Jesus entered fallen creation, fallen culture, fallen human culture, not to affirm it, but to transform it with kingdom culture. And this is a very interesting point because He came paying for our sins and paying for on the cross. He dealt a death blow to the sin nature, the human nature, so that we could have freedom through His cross. But chapter 10 gives us several examples of kingdom culture coming into conflict with fallen human culture. And before we get to the one we have the scripture reading about, Mark 10:35-45, which you have before you, there's the other ones, the one that Susie spoke about last week about the rich young ruler. But let's take all of these real quickly. I have to go quickly here. Because the first one of these reveals God's standard for implementing kingdom culture. And here it is. In verses 1 through 12, Jesus confronts divorce. Now, God allowed divorce in the Old Testament, and Jesus told the reason that he allowed it. Because of the hardness of your hearts. Because of the hardness of your hearts, He allowed it. Now, you say, well, why did He allow it? He has to allow our our fallen culture to exist, or we don't exist. He wants to save it. He wants to transform it, but he has to allow us to live out this culture by our free will. We're just not free will creatures. We're not human anymore. So he does allow it. But he pointed to God's standard, which was marriage, a joining together of a one flesh relationship. And he said, that's how it was at the beginning. At the beginning. Now, the next one, he talks about the idea of children and how children are treated. And you know, we might say, oh, we don't treat our children that way anymore. But sometimes we sort of do. Oh, you guys go play in there. We don't want you to be with us right now. We're talking big adult stuff, and we don't want you guys to be in here. You just make a lot of noise. And Jesus rebuked them. And he rebuked them. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Sin brought childishness. We know what childishness is because adults have a lot of childishness. So we know what that is. But sin brought childishness into the world. Okay? Childishness. But at the beginning of creation, at the beginning, Adam and Eve were childlike in their receptivity towards God. Until what? Until Satan messed them up, led them astray into lies. The next one is the one that Susie talked about. I'm just going to say something a little bit different, but in 17 to 34, 33 or 30, 31, where it talks about the rich young ruler, I believe that Jesus is striking at idolatry. He's really striking at idolatry. And we often think of putting things before God, but actually, idolatry is a way where things possess us. They actually possess us. And that's not the way God meant it to be. And here's his answer to that young man. Give it up. Give up your idolatry. You are so connected to your riches, so you need to get rid of them so that you can really come and follow me. Because right now, you're just serving your riches. They've got a hold on you. So give it up, then come follow me. Our job at the beginning, all three of these point to at the beginning, and this is the standard that God has for implementing kingdom culture. And that is, at the beginning, we were to be managers, stewards of creation. We were not to own it. It belongs to Jesus. Jesus made it. It was made by him. It was made for him. That's what the Bible says. So we were to be managers. We were to be stewards, servants, not owning creation or being owned by it, being possessed by it. So Jesus entered fallen human culture not to affirm it, but to transform it. And these three confrontations that Jesus gave to us introduce the last one in this Mark chapter 10. The last one about the beginning, at the beginning of creation, before the fall, before Satan went to work. You know that Eden was supposed to be what it was supposed to be, like heaven on earth. That's what Eden, the word Eden means paradise. It was to be like heaven on earth, a place of unity, not discord, not divorce, not separation, but unity. It was to be a place of childlike responsiveness to God, not childish disobedience. Okay? And it was to be a place where we had a bond with God, not a bondage to things. And that was those three categories. The reason the Son, and I've repeated this in several sermons lately, and it's really been impressed on my mind, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, 1 John. He came to destroy and get us separated from the lies that we were living, making us have a fallen culture. But his incarnation gave us not just the teaching about it. He gave us the second point here as an embodied example. His incarnation was an embodied example of kingdom culture. God asked the fallen Adam three questions. After Adam had sinned, God asked him three questions. Where are you? Who said you were naked? And did you do what I warned you not to do? Those three questions. Now, Adam had been close to God. He had been close to the Lord. He had been listening to the Lord and everything. He had been close to the Lord. And now he ran to hide from God. The separation, the divorce had happened. Do you see? You see why these all of these categories, they just repeat themselves here. Adam lost his childlike openness to God by listening to a liar. Who told you you were naked? Who were you listening to? You weren't listening to me. Who were you listening to? And it divided their relationship. He did not have, he had a childishness, a peevishness, a prudery, actually. Adam also idolized a fruit. He made idolatry out of a fruit and what it could do. And he let that supersede his relationship with God and God's word. So the first Adam failed. The first Adam failed to live the heavenly life that was destined for him. An earthly life, yes, but a heavenly earthly life that was destined for humanity. And God's Son became the second Adam to reclaim our human destiny, our true human destiny. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man came from heaven. Jesus became one of us to emulate what it meant to be a true human being. We walk around because we've adopted a lot of lies, the work of the devil. We've adopted a lot of lies about who we really are. And we carry those, and they're taught to us. They're drummed into our brain from the media a lot of times. And we walk around with those lies, and that's not how Jesus meant us to live. That's not our true humanity. He manifested what we were truly meant to be, living in a heaven-connected life, and then he called us to it. He lived that heaven-connected life, and then he called us to it. He maintained not a separation from God, not a divorce from God. He maintained a unity with the Father. I and the Father are one. Goes back to that one flesh relationship. You know that marriage was supposed to be a manifestation of the Trinitarian unity, the unity in the Trinity. It was so much one that we say one. One God. But he's three. Yes, he is. But he's so in union. He's like in a one flesh relationship. They're seen as a single entity. And so he maintained that unity. But he also manifested a childlike responsiveness. A childlike responsiveness to his Father. In John 14:31, it says, I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. He had that a childlike receptivity. And then he never idolized his bodily life. And that's what we do sometimes. We idolize our bodily, physical, material life down here and the things that are around us. We idolize them. But he saw his body as a tool to serve. Here's what he said. It's actually said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and I won't read the whole passage, but when Christ came into the world, he said, a body you prepared for me, here I am. I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to, not my own will, not my own idolatrous will of whatever I want to do. No, I have come to do your will. Jesus manifested what kingdom culture was that showed the contradiction to fallen human culture. So Jesus entered the fallen human culture, this culture of discord and division and divorce, this culture of a childish, disobedient ways, and of idolatry to self and things. He came to transform that. Not to affirm it, but to transform it with kingdom culture. And he taught us to pray something. He said, "Thy kingdom come." This is how we should pray. "Lord, thy kingdom come." Not my kingdom. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then, before this next confrontation with fallen human culture, he said a short passage, and he described that he was going to die. And he said he was facing a dreaded cup of betrayal, condemnation, mocking, flogging, being crucified for the sins of the world. He just had said that. And then comes this next confrontation. When he was facing that, he prayed a prayer. And here's how he prayed. And he taught us this way to pray. "Not my will, but thine be done." I don't want to go to the cross. But you know what? "Not my will, but thy will be done." He was, in his own life, manifesting what he taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Well, he showed us by his example that servanthood, being of service to God and others, servanthood is the key element in kingdom culture. In our text, we have verse 35 through 45. Jesus had just told about his cross, and then he confronts two disciples who come to him with another major part or major element that we face around the world in this fallen human culture: elevated status. Elevated status. Fame. Self-controlled or self-determined power. High position. Being the top dog. Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Right after he had talked about how he's going to suffer and serve the world that way, and they said, "We want to be up there in the high position. We want to be top dogs right next to you, Lord." You know? And first of all, he confronted them in a way that I saw that I didn't understand at first, but he confronted them in a way that was out of his example. He said, "That's not for me to grant. Haven't you guys been paying attention? Haven't you been listening? I am a servant of the Father. He's the one in charge. He tells me what to do. I can't grant you that. There's no way. I'm totally submitted to Him. I do the Father's will." And that was a rebuke because he was doing that through his whole ministry. He was doing the Father's will. But then he gets specific about kingdom culture and what our true human destiny is about, what it really means. And that's what he's been exemplifying to us in verse 42 through 45. You can read it. It's right there. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man," talking about himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to affirm our true humanity, not the fallen human culture of division, immaturity, idolatry, and prestige hunger. He came by example to reaffirm our true human destiny, to image the supreme servant, the triune God, who is designer, provider, preserver of all creation. And there's no higher status, there's no higher place, higher calling that we could seek than to be servants like our God and our servant King Jesus. That's the heavenly culture, which confronts which confronts and can transform our fallen human culture. And that happens. The way for that to happen, that happens only when Christ's call, "Come follow me," is met by our childlike response, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but thine be done." Father God, thank you for this passage, and thank you for all of chapter 10. It is such a blessing. And I pray, Father God, that you would continue to bless us, to help us to realize that we are being served every time we come here to church. We are being served by you. We are being taught by you. And then we have to go out to do our service, to be what Jesus was, a servant of the world, to give our lives for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.